Okay, so last night we discussed Chilul Hashem on airplanes, body bags, different things, and we see that there's a picture that was taken of a man in a body bag on an airplane, which seems to be accurate, and many of the theories have been all over the place, but it seems that the person was a Kohen, and he was trying to avoid Tumas Mace.
Is that a thing now?
So that's what we're discussing tonight. Is it a thing? So number one we talked about was just general, the general Chil Hashem that is really being present here, because people are going to look at this and they're going to say, wow, Jews are nuts. So we discussed last night three points. Number one, there are sources to indicate that there's a legitimate Chil Hashem when it comes to non-Jews witnessing something, even though that wasn't necessarily the simple read of the Gemara and Sanhedrin, but we had other sources like the Hagos Maimonides with the Tosefta and the concept of a Shavas Avida, which we know that a Shavas Avida, returning a lost object, is generally only for Jews, but the Gemara says that if there's a Kiddush Hashem or a Chil Hashem involved, for a non-Jew, you can return the object. And then we discussed potentially two different sources that Kiryas Sefer said for Chil Hashem. One of them is perhaps just to Jews, and one of them could be also to non-Jews. So we've now established that there are legitimate sources that do indicate that there can be a Chil Hashem, a desecration of Hashem's name, even when non-Jews are witnessing the act. But then we want to know, is that only when you're doing the wrong thing? What if you're actually doing a somewhat neutral thing, or maybe doing the right thing? Is there a Chil Hashem, or can there be a concept of a Chil Hashem when you're doing a neutral thing or the right thing? So we saw the Rambam says that there are certain things that are called Chil Hashem. The Rambam gives some examples. We did this yesterday. The source was Yisodi HaTorah. No, that was something else. One second. It was the Rambam. Source number 9. I'm just trying to look for it. Source number... Okay, we'll see. But the Rambam did say... There it is. Yisodi HaTorah, Perek Hey Halacha Yud Aleph said that there are certain things that are included in Chil Hashem for a Talmud Chacham, for a great Torah scholar. So let's say he spoke about being Marbe B'schok, like just joking around, or eating a lot, or not paying back things on time when you have money but you take on it on credit. Those are things that objectively you can't really say the person's doing anything wrong, but there are things that we expect of you a higher standard. And then we wanted to know, which is the topic to begin to our tonight's installment of this two-part series, is what if you're doing the right thing? Perhaps we can argue that this Kohen needed to be in a body bag on a plane because there was a dead body in the plane, and the plane becomes an ohel, the plane becomes a tent, so to speak, and the tumah spreads. We could talk about that soon. But assuming, for the argument's sake at the moment, that was correct, because of the implications that will have the way people perceive the Torah, like the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim said that the non-Jews ideally need to see the wisdom of our Torah and not mock it, if that's a value, so this guy is going to make people think Jews are crazy. But we're doing the right thing. So can we say that you can be doing the right thing and yet still make a Chil Hashem? That's the question. That's the question at hand. Putting yourself in a body bag on a plane for halachic purposes, is that the right thing to do, knowing that non-Jews are going to see the Torah and make fun of it? They're going to mock it. They're going to say, this is nuts. You Jews put yourselves in body bags? This is crazy. This guy was a...
Oh my God. For Nagia?
No, not for Nagia. Not for touching women, no. He's a Kohen. He's a Kohen.
They say in the Gemara that we don't do Kfiya Samita because people are going to make fun of us.
So. That's where we're going to get to that. Good, very good.
Don't ruin it.
Don't ruin it. Sammy, don't ruin it. So you could be doing the right thing, and people are going to look at you and think you're nuts. So what is the Torah perspective on that? Assuming that that's the right thing in that situation, which we're going to question it in general, but assuming that it is the right thing.
The opposite of like with the name of the sure is a bit.
It's, yeah, it's like, you're doing the right thing, but like people are going to look at you like you're crazy. So This is a actually the first siman in Shulchan Aruch. The first siman in Shulchan Aruch, and in the tour, talk about this. What does it say? It says, Yiskaber ke'ari la'amo baboker. You should get up like a lion in the morning. This is source number 13. And in that Hanhagas Adam baboker, and the way that a person should act in the morning, the Shulchan Aruch writes that Hashem fills this entire world, and you should always stand in front and know that He's watching you. And if people say, oh, well, when I'm in my hidden areas, Hashem doesn't see me, He said, that's a mistake. And He says, and what's relevant for our purposes is the following. He says like this. V'lo yisbayish b'fnei b'nei Adam hamaligin olav. Bavoras Hashem yisbarach. You should not be embarrassed. You should not be ashamed when people mock the service of God. You go and you wear a kippah and people are like, hey, what is this? Are you bald under there? Like, what are you hiding? Your horns? You know, all that. I've gotten that. Someone asked me if I have horns when I was like in 7th grade. I said, nope, I don't have any horns. So you should not be embarrassed. Gam b'hatzneh leches, you should go in a humble way, go modestly. When you sleep on your bed at night, you should know. You should know who you stand. Actually, he says lefnei mi hu shochev, who you lie before. Miad shiur mishnaso. And once you rise up, bizrizus, you should get yakum bizrizus. You should stand up with vigor, eager to serve Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So this is a quotation of the Tur, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes this as well. So we see that there's a value that if you're doing the right thing, you should not be embarrassed. You should not be ashamed of yourself, even if people mock it. And in source number 14, we see a very different comment from the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam. Even though you're doing the right thing, there are times in which we avoid, and times in which we try to avoid mockery. What would that be? So we have a case. This is source number 14. In Or Chaim, Saf Kuf Nun Dalet Sif Yud Zayin, in the context of mourning on Tisha B'Av and in other types of mourning, the Rama writes the following. He writes, V'chim b'makum she'darim bein ha'akum, in a place where we live amongst non-Jews, lo yichlotz, one should not take off his shoes on Tisha B'Av, ki im b'rechov ha'yehudim, only in a Jewish street, v'chim nagu, and that is the practice. And the Mishnah Berurah explains that the reason was to protect oneself from the taunts of the Gentiles. If you walk in the ways, in the streets of the non-Jews, people are going to mock you. People are going to make fun of you walking around barefoot. What is this? What are you doing? So on the one hand, we have the Shulchan Aruch saying, you should be not afraid, you should be proud to be a Jew, you should be proud of doing the right thing, you should be proud of the service of God. But on the other hand, we see the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama write that you should avoid being mocked. You shouldn't take off your shoes on Tisha B'Av in the non-Jewish. We don't generally take off our shoes, we wear non-leather shoes, but often you'll see, if you watch Rav Shechter on Yom Kippur or on Tisha B'Av, I have not seen him because I've generally been in summer, I've been away. But I think he tries his best to wear just no shoes in the Beis Medrash, where it's not like going to damage his feet. But the point is that what's the value? I don't understand. If we're doing the right thing, if it's Tisha B'Av, we're supposed to be mourning, we're supposed to take off our shoes, why not do it? Even the non-Jews make fun of us. So just a side point, parenthetically, I heard in the name of Rav Bednarsh, Rav Asaf Bednarsh, he's a Rebbe in Grus, in Israel, that he said that he talked about Bayah Velus. And it comes to mourning. If someone loses their parent, the minhag is to take off your shoes. But there's a halacha that you shouldn't take them off in front of non-Jews. And Rav Bednarsh writes that in those times when that halacha perhaps was being written and perhaps being followed, it wasn't just like they would say, they would not just like say, wear your horns or whatever, something similar to that. It would actually lead to pogroms. It would actually lead to dangerous situations. Now we live in a little bit of a different society, but maybe they won't have pogroms. But like there are certainly situations in which you're in a bad neighborhood, you're in a bad area. Maybe you got to be a little bit more careful. So they would actually mock Jews, start throwing rocks, and things would get escalate. So it's not just, according to Rav Bednar, it's not just like, well, we shouldn't be embarrassed. It's actually dangerous. So that could be a distinction. That could be a distinction. Others want to suggest that there's a difference between these two statements. The Mishnah Berurah says that by on Yom Kippur, there's actually a daraisa not to wear shoes, whereas Tisha B'Av is just a derabbanan, and therefore we're more mekel. But bottom line, we see that there certainly is these two values. That number one, we want to be proud of what we're doing, but on the other hand, we do care of our how our perception is in the eyes of the nations. Fine. Now there is a Gemara which I wanted to share with you, and this is an interesting idea here. The Gemara in Brachos Yutes Amud Beis says the following story. The Gemara says, Toshima, Godol Kovid Abrios 17. Godol Kovid Abrios Shidoche Lo Sase Shabbatora. One opinion, the Gemara says, you know how great Kovid Abrios is, human dignity? This is very much related to our discussion here, the human dignity of a person who's going to put himself in a body bag. He's going to be certainly embarrassed. Yeah, yeah. I hope that he's not, but yeah, so the human dignity of this person, he's going to be very embarrassed. So the Gemara says that Gadol Kavod HaBrios Shadoch as Lo Saseh Shebatorah, and even the human dignity of a person even takes precedence over a negative commandment in the Torah, and that is in fact an opinion in the Gemara. But the Gemara, the more mainstream opinion is the following, where the Gemara says, Amar Ef Kahana Gavar Rabba Amar Milsa Lo Sechicho Olav. A great person said this idea, Kol Mili Derabbanan Ismechinu Alav Lo Saser Mishim Kavod Sher Rabban. And this is the opinion that we follow, that Kavod HaBrios, human dignity, is so great, it doesn't go so far to actually take precedence over a biblical negative commandment, but it takes precedence over a rabbinic commandment. And Rashi says in source number 18 that the Rabbanim were the rabbis waived their honor, so to speak, and allowed their words to be dismissed for the sake of Kavod HaBrios, for the sake of human dignity. There are many different cases that we could get into, but the question really is, at the bottom line, this is another source that we see that human dignity is taking a significant value, that it even takes precedence over doing a mitzvah derabbanan. So how do we understand that? You got to follow the Torah. You got to follow the law. So what is human dignity? I mean, human dignity is important, but shouldn't we not be embarrassed? Shouldn't we just feel, okay, I'm doing the right thing? What's an example? The Gemara gives an example of, let's say a person wears shatnez, realizes he's wearing shatnez, he has no other clothes, he's supposed to strip naked. Right? So that's a biblical violation. So, like these things, what do you mean? What's the problem? I should strip naked because I'm doing the right thing. That's the question. So we certainly see this this dissonance, that there's, on the one hand, there's a value that when you're doing the right thing, you shouldn't be embarrassed. But on the other hand, there's a reality of a human condition, that human dignity is important and sometimes even takes precedence over rabbinic law. And sometimes, we said before, we have to worry about what our perception is to the non-Jews. So both of those values do seem to be making their way into the discussion in the Gemaras and in the Poskim and in the Shulchan Aruch. So we need clarification is needed. This clarification is needed. And even more so, if we're commanded to withstand taunts and to be proud in the face of mockery, what would be the difference if it's Derabbanan or Deraisa? Who would care? Okay, Tisha B'Av is only Derabbanan, so therefore you don't have to take off your shoes. But Yom Kippur, you should take off your shoes. Who cares? At the end of the day, it's a mitzvah. It's all not biblical, but it's the right thing to do. So why are we assuming that, oh well, if you're going to be mocked, you should follow, you should not take off your shoes? So, source number 19 begins the answer. The Orchis Chaim. The Orchis Chaim was written by the Rush. It's a piece of Musar and it's Chizuk and different things. And if anyone tells you the Musar movement was only started like 200 years ago, it's incorrect. The Rishonim write works of Musar, the Rosh writes one, the Ramban is the Igaras Ramban. There are certainly works of Musar that were written, ethical works, previous to the modern Musar movement. It may have not taken full curriculum in a yeshiva format, but there were works written by the Rishonim on Musar. And the Rosh writes very succinct line over here, which I think is very important for our purposes. Al taniach derech chasidus. When it comes to a midas chasidus, when it comes to a pious act, one should withstand mockery. Afal pisha maligin alecha, even if they mock you. Val tivoshu var mitzvah. Don't be embarrassed from doing a mitzvah. So the Or Chaim is saying that one should not, even in a level of chasidus, even when it comes to the rabbanans, even when it comes to he doesn't. Again, I'm saying this is even not a derabbanan. This is even a pious act, which is not obligatory, right? Midas chasidus is always extra. It's always lefnim mishuras hadin. It's beyond the letter of the law. Even that, you should not back down. You shouldn't be embarrassed. You should not be. You should not hesitate to do even that. So I think the answer could possibly be, and with this we're going to have to start. We're not going to have enough time if we don't start the whole sugya of. Of the coin in the airplane. But we'll have to do a couple more sources on this idea of embarrassment. But we have to distinguish between two types of embarrassment. One type of embarrassment is when the Torah's laws are viewed with contempt. People look at the Torah and they say, that's stupid, that's crazy, that's archaic. And that's perhaps what the Rosh is saying. The Rosh is talking about Or Chaim, and even if it's a Midas Chasidus, even if it's maybe washing, Mayim Achronim, maybe if it's something, doing something that people think that's crazy, we don't do that anymore, or, that, if people are looking at the Torah with contempt, that we have to stand up, we have to be proud, and we have to not back down, even when it's not obligatory. But there's a second type of embarrassment. The second type of embarrassment is that when we follow what the Torah tells us to do, we follow the laws of the Torah, that leads to a situation in which you'll be embarrassed. For example, a person wears shatnez and they realize they're wearing shatnez. They have no other clothes. When they rip off that shatnez and they do the right thing, they're then going to be in a situation in which it's embarrassing to be naked. That's an objective reality. That's not that the Torah is being viewed in a negative light. Oh, the Torah is crazy, the Torah is archaic. No, that is, I am embarrassed. My human dignity is being ripped away from me because I'm naked in the street. That's a different situation. In that case, rabbinic laws are waived, but biblical laws are not waived. That is, in fact, what the Gemara perhaps means when it says Kavod HaBrios is so great that it can even override rabbinic law. It doesn't mean Kavod HaBrios when people are mocking the Torah itself and saying, oh, the Torah is crazy, the Torah is archaic, it doesn't make any sense. That we have to stand strong. We have to say, no, we believe in the Torah, we have a value system, there is a reason for this, we have to ask our rabbis, we have to find out what the reasoning is, but that we have to be proud of, no matter what happens. That's when the Torah itself is being questioned. But when we ourselves are embarrassed because of what we were following, let's say we were wearing shatnez and we took it off. That's a reality that we're going to be embarrassed, that we're naked. That's different. That's not looking at the Torah with contempt. And that has more of a wiggle room, so to speak. We take into account the Chil Hashem and the human dignity into the decision. But the Pharisee Yisrael had a similar question. This is not something that we're so familiar with, but there used to be a practice where mourners would cover their head during the mourning period. And even in the times of the Tiferes Yisrael, they stopped doing this. And he asked the question, why do people not do this anymore? It's straight out in the Gemara. The Gemara says explicitly they cover their head. Ativa sarosh. Yeah, or with a talis or whatever. We're not exactly sure what they would do, but they would cover their heads with a cloak or some sort of sign of mourning. So he says the following. He says it's not well sourced. It's very well sourced. But he says it's possible. Efshalom. Mishum de gadol kavod abriyo shedokol lav derabanan. He says it's so great. Kavod abriyo, human dignity is so great that we got rid of this rabbinic law. He says, lesa. That's not, that can't be. Dehainu b'misvaza aydi dover acher kishishimura mitzvah. That that rule only applies when one suffers embarrassment as a result of something else when he observes a mitzvah. Like we said before, you're going to be naked, so because you take off your shotness, that's embarrassing. This is not some other factor which is embarrassing you. This is, we just stopped wearing these covers on our heads when we were in mourning. He says the pshat is the following. Chas v'sholom shenichos shiyizvayis ha-ma'aligin ha-mitzvah ba'atzma. V'tzorach lomer dekalu shikilu ba'avel. He says it must be, and this is what I was saying before, it must be that it wasn't that they were being, look, the Torah was being viewed and mocked as ridiculous. It must have been that, in general, we're just more makel when it comes to avilos, and therefore when people aren't seeing this as a form of expression of mourning, if we're not seeing covering your head in our society as an expression of mourning, so we just stopped doing that. But it's not because, chas v'shalom, it should be because people like saw it as crazy and therefore we didn't do it anymore. The point is that it's not an expression of mourning. A similar case, and this happens perhaps often to people in the workplace, that people say, well, it's embarrassing for me to tell a woman that I can't shake her hand. Or maybe it's embarrassing for her. So the stipler, and there are perhaps other opinions here, but just for the purpose of this shiur, the stipler says, that's not an excuse. To be embarrassed that you're following the Torah, that's not an excuse. If you don't want to embarrass her, that's, you don't want to make her feel bad. You don't want to say what are you doing? What are you crazy? That's just not nice. But to be embarrassed that you're following the Torah, which I think sometimes we still feel self conscious. Well, what, this is a little weird that I'm not shaking her hand. That is not a legitimate form of kavod abrios. Kavod abrios is when I'm embarrassed by my natural human reality, not that I'm embarrassed that I'm Jewish. I'm embarrassed that I'm following this. That's what the stipler said. And again, I'm not getting into the whole sugya of when you could shake, shouldn't you shake, who should you shake, if she's really ugly, whatever. I'm not getting involved in all those things. But the point is that in that context of I'm embarrassed that I'm following halacha, the stipler says that's not what we mean when we say gadol kavod abrios, shidocha derabanan. That's not what we mean. We mean to say that the kavod abrios, human dignity, is important when it is a natural result of following the Torah. Not that you're embarrassed that you are following the Torah. Similar context, Rav Moshe writes about a woman who's embarrassed that people notice that she's following the rules of Nida. Some of the rules when it comes to Nida are called Harchakos. Harchakos are distancing measures that a husband and wife need to follow. Only a husband and wife when the woman is in Nida. There are certain things you can't do. You're not supposed to eat from the same things. You're not supposed to pass each other things. You're not supposed to, sleep in the same bed. All different things. So a woman asked her, I'm not sure if it was a woman asked her or someone asked her on behalf of a woman. The question was posed to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. If a person follows these rules in public, let's say they go to a wedding, right? And the husband says to the wife, well, throw me the keys because I want to go get the car from the valet, and she doesn't want to pass him the keys, so she kind of puts it on the ground or something, and everyone sees. So the question is that she's asking Rav Moshe is, I'm embarrassed.
What are you supposed to do if you're staying at somebody's house and your wife's Anita and they give you one bed?
The husband's on the floor. So the question is, in a public scenario, people are gonna realize that she's Anita. And Rav Moshe was asked, I'm embarrassed. Maybe I could pass him the keys. Maybe, I don't think it was, I'm not sure exactly what she was asking. I'm not going through this whole tshuva right now. But the point was, is I'm a little bit embarrassed if I follow it. She doesn't give examples. She just says harchakos here. If I'm following these harchakos, I'm following these distancing things, people are going to see, oh, you know, Havdalah is a great example. Havdalah is, you pass around the besamim, so she's not supposed to pass it straight to her husband. And everyone's going to see, all the in-laws, Shabbos Sheva Brachos, everyone's going to watch, and the husband's going to be next to the kala, and he's going to be like, put it there, Like it's embarrassing. So they asked Ramosha. Ramosha said, that's not kavod abrios. A woman should be not embarrassed that she's fulfilling the Torah's commandments. She shouldn't be embarrassed that she's following what the Torah wants from her. And therefore, yes, obviously, you should try to use your brain and not embarrass your wife. But the point is, you can't be more lenient because you are embarrassed that you're following the Torah. Even though people are going to see, you should not be embarrassed in their presence. Okay, let's get to the this is a, there's a lot more to say about embarrassment and kavod abrios and how that factors into Pesach. But let's just address the question of a Kohen. Is anyone here a Kohen?
No. We had from Manasseh.
What?
We had from...
Yeah, Menachem. The question of a Kohen on an airplane, okay? Doesn't sound like such a question, right? What's wrong with a Kohen being on an airplane? So I'll tell you. First of all, let's give some background information. Tumas mace, if it's a Jewish mace, goes and shoots up to the heavens. What does that mean? That means unless there's something blocking it, unless there's some way that is machitza or it's chotze, it separates, the tumah always extends. So if, in theory, a plane is flying over a cemetery, we're going to discuss maybe the metal can stop it, but we'll see that in a minute. Many issues can arise if the plane flies over a cemetery because the tumah goes straight up to the Shemayim. And a Kohen, we know, is not allowed to become impure. So some want to say the following, want to allow the following. Now we're discussing just a Kohen flying over a cemetery. I asked Rav Wiederblank, who actually is a Kohen, about being on a plane with a mace on the plane. And he said, it's probably an issue. It's probably an issue. I said, do you have to put yourself in a body bag? He's like, I think you should, who said you should be on that plane? Maybe you should go somewhere else. And I said, is that because it's going to look crazy? And he's like, yeah. He's like, he said, avoid it. Avoid that. Why is this guy going on? I don't know. I don't know the situation. But I think it's a little bit crazy. Probably better to go on a different plane or to stay where you are than to do that. That's what he said. Sorry? And Rav Wiederblank said it's pretty easy to avoid being on a plane with a dead body because he said almost all of them are out of JFK. If you fly from Newark, he said, there are generally no dead bodies on the planes. But you can ask. You can ask Elal. You can ask these people. You can ask them. Mm-hmm. But now we're discussing something which you can't necessarily know. Flying over a cemetery. So someone will argue the following. Someone to say that a plane is made out of aluminum. Now we know that there are six metals in the Torah that contract or spread tumah, that are makabel tumah. Does anyone know what those things are? Those six metals. I don't have them down here. Oh, the metals that are in the Torah. I think it's iron, silver. Copper. I thought I had it here. I don't know by heart. Alright. Oh, here it is. Here. The Tiferes Yisrael quotes them. Here we go. The source number 31. Skipping a bunch. Tiferes Yisrael lists the six types of metals that were mentioned in the Torah that separate and create or separate and accept Tumah. And they are the following. Zahav, Kasev, Nechoshes, gold, silver, copper, very good. Barzel, iron, bedil, I don't know what that is, Veoferes. I have no idea what those things are. What? I don't know. He says that those are the six things. And he quotes the Gon, the Vilna Gon. He says that the Vilna Gon said, Hagam, that there are other species of metals. We know now today there is aluminum. There's so many other types of metals that were not included. He says even though the Gon says that those are the only six metals that the Torah considers to be in the realm of Tumah, the Tiferes Yisrael says, I believe that there are much more. That anything with the properties of metal would be included in those six categories. It's not like it's those six or nothing. The Tiferes Yisrael disagrees with the Vilna Gaon and says, I believe that all those six are kind of paradigms, but if anything has a similar property, similar function, they would be considered metal. So some posts want to say, based on the Gra, The Vilna Gaon who says there's only six metals that are considered matechas, that are considered metals, on a plane is made out of aluminum, the plane would not be able to contract that tumah, because that metal was not mentioned in the Torah. So that metal, therefore, according to the Gra, would not be able to accept that tumah, that impurity. That's what some want to argue. Now,
wait, so just to clarify, is this for if the dead body's on the plane, or are we only talking about...
We are talking now about the body that is not on the plane, okay, that is, let's say, in a cemetery. Because we said a body on the plane is a big problem. Body on the plane, I don't know how you're going to get out of that. Just don't go on the plane.
But, okay.
There may be a way if you put yourself in a body bag, but who said you should put yourself in a body bag?
Wait, but I'm trying
to... Yeah, it spreads throughout the plane.
But you're saying that aluminum can't be macabre.
You're saying if you really hold that way...
Yeah. Then what's the difference if the body's on the plane or you're passing over the body?
Because there's two things. One thing is containing the tumma within the plane, and the other is, can it stop tumma coming from outside?
Isn't it happening in a different room? Like, isn't the whole thing like you can't go into a shul with the body, you can go in the outside room with the body? Like, let's say if the body's in the shul, you can go in the outside room. So this is the same thing. The body's in, like, the belly of the plane, and you're in the passenger area of the plane. It's a different room. Like, you can't get to that part of the plane. It's a different room.
So there's a general thing called an ol zaruk, which is the main issue here, which is, in general, you're right. In general, this building, this structure, contains tumma, right? A coin's allowed to walk in the street. Why? Because the dead bodies that are, let's say, in a house, or they're buried in a cemetery, whatever it is, they're contained. The problem is that in a plane, it's called an ohel zaruk. It's called... They didn't have planes, but like in the times of the Gemara, but there were things that were being that could have conceived of that were like tents that were moving tents. Maybe a hot air balloon or what's called an ol zarik in halacha is anything that's like a moving
structure.
Correct. That type of structure cannot stop the tumah from spreading. You hear what I'm saying? It can contain. It can't block. Think of it as like a there's like laser beams of like tumma shooting out from the mace.
It doesn't sound real,
but that's the way we have to look at it. Just it's not like there are tumma beams coming out, and this moving plane can't stop the tumma beams coming out because it's not a structure which is connected to anything. It's not a stationary structure.
So it has to be grounded.
It has to be grounded. All right, that's a good way of saying it. So that would be the issue with the cemetery. The cemetery is basically hitting the tumma beam, so to speak, is hitting you directly. Because the fact that you're in that plane is not going to serve as a barrier in any way. That's in halachic. I'm saying this is halachic realities. There's no laser hitting you. I'm just saying, halachically speaking, that would be the way we define the spreading of impurity from a dead body. Now, the question of the mace being on board the plane. So there were different things that they tried to do. They tried to put the mace inside of a plastic container. But again, the plastic container, and this goes into the question that the Mishkanos Yaakov, which we're not going to have a chance to read, but it's a very long piece. The Mishkanos Yaakov discusses this whole issue. And he says that, tries to argue, that maybe if a mace on the board of the belly of the plane, like you said, on the cargo part, is in a separate area. Even though... It's all moving, right? You would say, what do you mean? If you look at this plane, I mean, it's all within this one structure, which is moving around, which means that it should not be able to ever stop that tumma from spreading. But he says, but there are different cargo areas within that plane. And he wants to perhaps argue that since within the plane itself, it is stationary, so he wants to argue perhaps maybe it's not an Olazark. This is a very big Kiddush. It's hard to really know how we view this halakhically. It's hard to know if we really say he's not sure himself. He's suggesting maybe since when you're sitting on the plane, it's stationary. So then within the plane, maybe this is the mace, we can contain the tumah of the mace. He says maybe not because the whole structure is moving. So it's a very hard thing to know what's considered stationary and what's not. You hear what I'm saying? Okay, so that's the basic issue here. the basic issue is I do think that it's hard to really rely on the aluminum thing. I don't know if many poskim really say this. It would be yielding a huge kulo when it comes to tefilas kelim. Because you would say, oh, well, only six metals in the Torah have to be tovold. No other metals. No aluminum pans, no steel, nothing. I don't know. I don't really know what bedil and oferis are. I don't, maybe the one of those are steel. But we generally assume that metals that have property of metal are metal. And therefore, it's hard to rely on that. It's hard to rely on the Mishkanos Yaakov, who's himself not sure how to look at a plane. Do we see that as an Oel Zarek, as a detached structure? And yet, therefore, I think the mainstream psak of most poskim is that if you are a Kohen on a plane, you should, and there's a mace on the plane, you should not be on that plane. And I asked Rabbi Wiederblink if the consideration of how much of a Chil Hashem would be if you put yourself in a body bag would influence your decision. He's like, yeah, you shouldn't go on the plane. It won't allow you to go on that. Why are you doing that? Meaning there are other considerations. Maybe if it's I can't think of a situation. I'm sure there's another way to get there. Maybe you go on the next plane, whatever it is. Or look into it ahead. You know, maybe don't just assume. So seems like he had some sort of plan. Like, how did he get a bag? Like, you know. So fine, but then the question becomes flying over Israel. So actually, Rav Wiederblink told me he thinks they changed the route. They changed the route in Israel, that they actually do not fly right over that cemetery by the airport, which is fascinating. I didn't even know that. But assuming that they didn't change the route, so is there a heter? Is there a heter? So if Shechter has a fascinating heter, then I heard this in his name. I don't know. I didn't hear this from him, but I heard this, that he said this at the Katz Kol dedication. Katz Kol is the second seder that the Smicha students learned with Rav Shechter. They learned Bekiyas, Gemara. He said, Katz was a Kohen. So he said the following. He said that, we did this last year, I think, when we talked about a Kohen going to medical school. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
So there's a Tosos that says that there's no way that a Kohen cannot be in the same room as a metal sword. There's a concept called Cherev Hari Kachol, that a sword that was stabbed into a body of a person and the person died becomes like a mace. Chalal is a corpse. The Cherev, the sword, becomes like a corpse. So Tosos says it's impossible that a Kohen cannot be in any house with any metal that ever touched a mace, because then you would have no ability for any Kohen to basically ever be in any house. So what's the reason that that's the case? If it's Tameh, if it's like a mace, then how, that this is Rav Chaim Ozer's question, Rav Shechter says, he quotes this, he says, so then in fact, what is the reason that a Kohen is able to be close to this Cherev, this sword, or this metal piece? And Tosef says, it's impossible, okay, it's just not possible. What do you mean it's not possible? So what is the reason? So Rav Chaim Ozer, Rav Shechter, uses this to explain our case, suggests the following. The issue of a Kohen becoming close to a mace, and the issue of a Kohen becoming Tame, and the reason why a Cherev, Hari Kuchal, this sword which has the status of a corpse, does not pose a problem for a Kohen, is because the definition and the Haggadara, the definition of the prohibition of a Kohen to become Tame, is to become close to a mace. To become close to a mace. When you're coming close to this sword, you're not becoming close to a mace. The mace is 100 miles away. You're not becoming close to this mace, and therefore you're allowed to touch, or you're allowed to be in that room with that sword or that thing. And therefore, if Shechter is based on that, we could argue that when you're flying over a cemetery in a plane, you're not violating the tumah. You're not violating the impurity because you're not coming close to that mace. There's no proximity. There's no issue. You're not violating the prohibition in its form that was established. So bottom line, don't put yourself in a body bag. If you're a Kohen, try to get on a different plane. Probably can go on planes today because they avoid that route. And Chil Hashem is important to be worried about.
That?
Because there is a route that it... There, again, there...